Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Welcome back to Colorado, Fred.
Well, I should say it's great to be back, but maybe not so much because I just got back from the Bahamas.
Yeah. You were on assignment.
Time,
boy,
yeah.
I hope I could land one of an assignment
in
like
the Bahamas.
That. So, Fred, today's program, and by the way, it is Friday, June 13th, 2014. I guess that makes it Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Are you superstitious, Fred?
Not really.
No.
I'm not.
I'm not either.
Oh, by the way, Dr. Dan Caro is speaking tonight for Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship.
Oh, yeah. Every month in Denver.
Yeah, and it's at a new location. So it's at Calvary Apostolic Church at 5900 East Yale Avenue.
All right.
Just a little bit east of I-25 on Yale.
All right. So it'll be great. Every month is so fun, and so I look forward to
this. So,
yeah,
that's our new speaking location, hopefully for many years to come.
So the topic of today's program is so fun. It's when did Adam and Eve fall? What is the timing of the fall in the Garden of Eden? And what I like about this is Jonathan Sarfati, Dr. Sarfati, did an article recently, Why Bible History Matters. And he brings up this question of how soon after their creation on day six did Adam and Eve sin?
And he made three observations, and they're great because I remember hearing these observations from one of your Bible studies years ago. I can't remember how long ago.
Oh, Genesis the Fall. We've covered this.
Yeah, and it was a great, really
Thank
insightful.
You, and we've been teaching this, I'd say, for about 20 years.
Wow, 20 years. Okay,
yeah.
So Genesis the Fall.
Yes.
So here's the three main points that Jonathan Sarfati raised. Adam and Eve did not conceive any children prior to the fall. That would make sense, right?
Well, I guess if they had, those children would be righteous.
Yeah.
The righteous unfallen seed of Adam and Eve, and that would have changed the whole history of the human race. So, okay, no children prior to the fall.
Yep. Eve would likely have become pregnant during her first menstrual cycle. Mm. I remember hearing that in your study, and it leads to real interesting stuff that we'll get to later.
Yeah, we will. But so that's not necessarily an absolute, but it's a likely. Yeah. God said, be fruitful and multiply, and they would have not had fertility problems. So her first menstrual cycle, that's a monthly cycle like God put in so many species in the animal kingdom. He likes that cycle, and it would have worked.
Exactly. And the third item is Lucifer also would have rebelled in the short time between creation and the fall, which makes perfect sense.
Wow. Now, wait a minute. I thought a lot of Christians claim, some Christians claim that Lucifer fell early, like before the, say, day six or before God created the earth. Did you ever hear that?
Oh, yeah, like the gap theory and goofy things like that.
Yeah, and the day-age theory and progressive creation. So what's an argument against Lucifer falling sometime earlier in creation? Instead of, Sarfati says, as we've taught for decades, Lucifer fell after the seventh day. God created in 6 days, rested on the seventh, and sometime between the seventh day and the fall, that's when Lucifer rebelled.
Between the seventh day and the fall. Okay. Well, one of the things we've been saying for a long time with creation science, young earth believers, is that on day seven, when God was done, he said everything was very good. I mean, there's a Hebrew word there that's as close to perfection as you can get. It was a great creation. It wasn't a creation filled with, you know,
a fossil record
that shows death, disease, suffering,
pain,
cancer, all these other
things. There weren't even thorns.
No thorns. There was no weeds for us to pull.
No death from, no weeds.
My son would love that.
Yeah. We have weeds growing in our driveway.
How does that happen? Yeah, exactly.
And so no death, no suffering, no pain. Now, no death of any creature, nephesh, any creature that has a soul. Bacteria, plants, they could have been eaten and killed, of course.
Yeah, insects.
Yeah, but no death of anything with a nephesh, a soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the creation was perfect when God was complete, which of course it would have been, and in the Ten Commandments we read, in 6 days God created the heavens, the earth, the seas and everything in them.
Everything in them, yep.
In 6 days.
Yeah, he repeats that. It's in Exodus, I think, 20:11.
20, chapter 20.
Yeah. Yeah. And just in case we missed it when we read the first chapter of the Bible, didn't pick up on that.
Right, right. So Lucifer would have rebelled in the short time between creation and the fall. We say short time now because we've realized that Adam and Eve didn't conceive any children prior to the fall.
That's right.
And God said, be fruitful and multiply.
And with her menstrual cycle, yeah.
Yeah.
We can kind of start narrowing this down.
Yeah, and they were biologically perfect. So no fertility problems like we have today.
Yep.
So now let's dig into this. When we recognize that Adam and Eve fell prior to conceiving their first child, that's the primary realization for narrowing down the earliest days in human history and when did the fall happen. And like you mentioned, Fred, thank you for mentioning our Bible study album, Genesis, the Fall. We make these observations that Dr. Sarfati made, including that we're on solid ground to realize that Satan fell in the early period after creation, not during the creation week or before, but after, because the things that the Bible says about Lucifer's fall really tie in an amazing way.
Yeah. For example, in Ezekiel 28, you were in Eden, the garden of God. It's talking about Lucifer. He was in Eden, the garden of God.
So Lucifer is in Eden. So we know where that was, right? And that was God made the garden for Adam to till. And then in Isaiah 14, and these are the classic passages on Lucifer's fall, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. In Isaiah, we read that the perfect and wise Lucifer said in his heart, quote, I will ascend into heaven. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. So Lucifer, he was in Eden, the garden of God, and in his pride, he wanted to be God. He wanted to be ruling in heaven.
Yes.
Forget earth, forget Eden. Nice place, but it's temporary.
Yeah.
I'm headed to heaven.
He wants to be the top dog.
Yeah. So when we read that Lucifer was fallen from heaven, that's not geographically.
Yeah.
He was on earth in the Garden of Eden, and earth was part of God's kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
It's the kingdom of heaven on earth.
I mean, we could do a whole long show on just heaven, right?
Right.
With the firmament, and, you know, we've talked about the firmament is the crust of the earth, right?
The crust of the earth. And in fact, we have a brand new video, the global flood and the hydroplate theory. Mm-hmm. People are purchasing it now from us, although it's only the preview version.
I have it right here. This is a really cool cover. Hopefully, you know, the cover matches the content.
I pray so. You can't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, this one, except hopefully you can.
You could with a DVD.
This is really cool.
And so in there, we have a whole segment on God referring to the earth, the crust of the earth, as part of his kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Adam and Eve, we have to die to go to heaven, right? Adam and Eve didn't have to die to go to heaven. In their created perfection, they were already in heaven.
In heaven, yes.
It was part of God's kingdom of heaven on earth, which we go through and we show from the Bible that that's the case. And so when Lucifer fell from God's kingdom of heaven, but he was on earth.
Like he wasn't up in like
he wasn't
the heavens
up there
and clouds.
And falling down like by gravity.
He was, like it said in Ezekiel 28, he was in Eden, the garden of God. That's where he was at.
Right, and he said, I will ascend into heaven.
Yeah.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds.
Yeah, he will ascend into heaven.
And also we read that Lucifer was perfect from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. And what's interesting, Fred, is people assume that he had fallen long before he tempted Eve. But if you read Genesis really carefully, you find out that because he tempted Eve, remember that? In Genesis 3, because you have done this, you are cursed to Satan, God
says. So that means he wasn't cursed before that.
He was not cursed before he tempted Eve. Because you have done this, you are cursed, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed, whoever follows you, and her seed, capital S, referring ultimately to the Messiah born of the seed of the woman and ultimately born of the Virgin Mary.
That's the first prophecy, right?
The very first prophecy in the Bible, that Jesus would be born the seed of the woman.
Yep.
And at enmity with the seed of Satan, all those who follow him. So, Fred, so many Christians assume that Satan was evil and God put him in the garden to tempt Eve.
To tempt Eve. Yeah.
That is against
That's not the what biblical the Bible record. Says.
No, yeah. It doesn't. God put Lucifer, which is what? Lightholder. God put this beautiful angel in the Garden of Eden, and Lucifer, in his pride, he somehow lusted after the authority of God, and he wanted Adam and Eve to obey him, not God. Some theologians have surmised that the angels could not reproduce, but God gave Adam and Eve the ability to produce billions, if not trillions, of eternal beings.
And I see where you're going. That's right? Interesting. Yeah.
And if Lucifer could seduce Adam and Eve, he could raise up an army of virtually an infinite army of eternal beings who could side with him against the creator. So it could very well be that Lucifer's fall was actually in the very process of tempting Eve.
Yeah.
That it was.
It makes perfect sense.
Just as he was about to tempt her, pride filled him and he thought, hey, I could be God. I don't have to be stuck here in Eden. And he called out to Eve.
Yeah. Well, in Genesis, the fall, you raised a really interesting verse. And I had to think about this, you know, when I first heard it, about how this plays into all this. But it's from 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. It talks about Paul's counseling on what a person should do to be a leader,
yes.
The qualifications to be a leader. So he said that he not be a novice, lest he be puffed up with pride, that he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. So that's interesting that being a novice is tied in with the devil.
Yeah.
What an interesting concept. When I first saw that, it just didn't quite sink into me what's being said here.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a peculiar verse.
Because you know, my secular mind's saying, well, wait a minute, being a novice doesn't make you prideful. But wait a minute.
If you are in some way in a position of authority and you are a novice,
yep.
It could. But to say the novice is then like the devil, that seems almost like an exaggeration, except when we realize that Lucifer was a novice. He was young.
He was young. He was within a little bit more than 7 days old, somewhere between seven and
a short number of days before Eve conceived an offspring.
Yep.
He rebelled. And so when you think of the holy angels today who did not join the rebellion, maybe a third did. And if you take numbers in the Bible, if they're somewhat within the realm of being literal, there's maybe 100 million angels that have rebelled with Lucifer, maybe. You know, maybe way more or way less.
Yeah.
But in
but
all
you've
the,
got all those other ones who didn't, and they're what, 6,000-7,000 years old?
Good point. They're thousands of years old, and they've seen the results of the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly what happens to angels who turn against God and how insanely evil that is and all the destruction that comes with it and suffering.
So don't be a novice. So then that verse makes a lot more sense. If you're going to be a leader, don't be a novice.
And I would think that the holy angels today will never fall because they've learned from Lucifer. And so Adam and Eve were novices and Lucifer and the angels that followed him were brand new.
Yeah.
And they decided to rebel against God. And so that's Paul's advice. Don't be like the devil. And so don't take someone who's a brand new Christian and make him a leader of your church. It's too risky for him.
Yeah.
Not that he'll go to hell, but he'll be puffed up with pride.
Yep.
And here's Lucifer coveting, you know, the obedience of man and the millions or billions of offspring in Eve's ovaries and Adam's seed. So he tempted Adam and Eve. And he did so before their first conception.
Before their first conception. That's important. Yeah.
Yes. And so
his life begins at conception. That's when Cain, he started at conception, not when he came out of Eve.
Of course not. Right. And American Right to Life has an article on their website on the very beginning of biological life. And you see from all the science that it is at the moment of fertilization, which used to be called the moment of conception, when the sperm fertilizes the ovum and you have a new organism. So, Fred, when might Eve have become pregnant?
That's the big question because, you know, again, she hasn't conceived yet. You know, we know that original sin, all that stuff. You know, hey, her offspring were part of the fallen creation.
Right.
So she has not become pregnant yet. She has not conceived.
Right. So there is a range among healthy women of the normal human menstrual cycle, But the normal cycle is about 28 days, and that's 4 7-day weeks. Now, when does ovulation occur? Well, that too varies a few days either way, but it averages near the middle of the cycle.
The middle of the cycle, that's, yeah.
So you have 28 days and ovulation occurs, and that's when a woman can conceive mm-hmm. after she's ovulated, because that's her ovum that's available to the sperm to be fertilized. So during that time, there's a gland that you and I have talked about on a show on glands and organs and organelles. Remember all that?
Yeah, the hippopotamus. Oh, no.
The hypothalamus. Yes. And the hippopotamus. The hypothalamus triggers this very complex process, beginning with instruction to the pituitary gland to release these hormones, which the bloodstream carries to the ovaries. And they, in turn, use this hormonal chemical signal to prepare the womb in case fertilization occurs, so that it's a nurturing place for the baby to develop. So this is all an amazing process.
Oh, yeah. It's incredibly complex. Yeah. It is amazing. And, yeah. You know, how does evolution explain it? But wait a minute.
Right.
Sex is evidence for evolution.
Yeah. That's what Bill Nye said
yeah. in the debate.
When even Richard Dawkins acknowledges that sexual reproduction is a big problem.
Huge paradox.
For Darwinism, which is dead anyway. But, Fred, also, we now know that now that there's sin and our bodies are breaking down, the baby helps to heal the mother. The baby helps to heal the mother. And that's why bringing a first pregnancy full term is very healthy. That's known even for breast cancer. It is not debated by scientists, the National Cancer Institutes, and everybody. It's healthy. And one of the reasons they're just now learning is that the baby's stem cells help to heal the mother mm-hmm. of various ailments. Mm-hmm. And that's all astounding.
Yeah.
It's just
so when you yank that baby out of the womb, the body isn't prepared to shut down like it normally would be. And that's where you get a higher incidence of breast cancer.
Yes.
This type of stuff people aren't being told about.
Yeah. You have these
tragedy.
These undifferentiated cells in nodules, these lobules in mammary glands, and scientists know exactly which ones are likely to begin breast cancer, become cancerous. And so abortion is a leading risk factor for breast cancer.
Yep.
Yeah. But we reliably infer from the Bible and secular history, even, and sacred history, mm-hmm. scriptures, that Adam and Eve had no sinless offspring.
They were all fallen.
They were all. Right.
All of them.
There would have been not only war in heaven between man and God, there'd been between fallen and unfallen angels, fallen and unfallen mankind. So Eve did not conceive a child prior to Adam's sin. That's certain.
Yep.
So a woman's ovum is viable for about one day after being released. Now, a man's sperm can live in vivo in the woman's body, even today after millennia of degeneration, in the woman's fallopian tubes for up to 1 week.
Yeah, that's well known.
Up to
a week.
Right. Now, if you subtract that week from the approximate middle of Eve's 28-day cycle, it appears that Adam may have rebelled within 7 days of his creation.
Yeah, that's a reasonable expectation.
Reasonable. Yes. I mean, you know, Adam and Eve were there in the garden. It was paradise.
It was paradise.
They would have loved each other.
They would have loved each other. There would have been no.
There's no Monday Night Football. There's no.
Yeah.
I mean, what? You got your. I mean, what?
Yeah.
So anyway, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. Yes. They would have obeyed him and they would have loved each other.
There would have been no fertility problems, like you said.
Right.
So.
Right. So since Adam and Eve were created on which day?
Day six.
The fall may have occurred on the calendar date 1 week later, which would have been
seven plus six.
I got an abacus here. That's the 13th. On the 13th day of creation.
Wait a minute. 13th day of creation. Okay, so
Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day.
And Monday.
Saturday is the seventh day, the Sabbath.
Yeah, Saturday is the Sabbath.
Right, the Jewish Sabbath.
A lot of people think Sunday's the Sabbath.
No.
But it's not. It's Saturday.
And so Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day, which was Friday.
Friday.
So 7 days later would have been Friday.
Friday the 13th. Interesting.
Oh, the brother, plot come thickens. On. Fred, you said you are not superstitious, and I'm not superstitious. I know I'm not. But it could be, you know, the world has this sense that the number 13 is unlucky.
Yep.
And that Friday the 13th is a double whammy.
Oh, yeah. That's a double whammy. And I know that big skyscrapers, a lot of them don't even have a 13th floor. I mean, some people are seriously, you know.
Hotels don't have a 13th floor.
Yeah. Yep.
And you're right. Skyscrapers don't have a 13th. It's wild, isn't it?
So many things have an origin that goes back to the Bible. I wonder if this does. I mean, it's a curiosity. It's speculation.
I don't know, but maybe it does. You know, biblically, numerology is a fascinating area
God
of study.
God actually loves numerology,
God
right?
loves numbers. Yep. Of course, you could take it too far.
Yep.
But it's a valid area of study, but it does easily lead to superstition, which means it could be destructive.
Yes.
So you have to discuss it wisely. But if you look at the number 13, it doesn't factor heavily into biblical numerology, but it's there. You know, the first reference dates a rebellion.
The first reference
of the number 13. And the second
dates
reference.
Dates a rebellion.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the second use of the number 13 dates the origin of a false claim from millions, a billion almost, people in the world, that Ishmael is the possessor of God's covenant. And the third use of 13 contrasts devotion to God with devotion to oneself.
Interesting.
So let's look at those first three uses of 13.
Okay. So the first one is Genesis 14, verse 4.
Oh, yeah.
12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled.
Wow.
So that's the first use ever of the word 13 in the Bible.
Yeah, and 12 is a number for human government. You know, the 12 tribes of Israel.
12 years they served this guy.
Yep.
And in the 13th year, they rebelled.
Yeah.
13, first time it's used is with rebellion.
In Genesis 14. Then the second time is in Genesis 17.
Yeah, so that's when Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised. So that's interesting because I know it says in the Bible to be circumcised the eighth day.
On the eighth day for the Jews.
Yeah.
As Isaac was and as Jesus was.
Yeah, Jesus was. Yeah.
And if Jesus was born, as some theologians have said, on the first day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, that means he would have been circumcised on the eighth day, the high holy day, and on the Sabbath.
High holy day.
And on the Sabbath, which when Jesus said, well, some people are circumcised on the eighth day of their life on the Sabbath, then he would have been talking about himself. And that's astounding.
Interesting.
And that's when he said that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man.
Oh, yeah.
And we have that, too, a debate on should Christians keep the Sabbath with the Seventh-day Adventist on our website. Google it.
Just Google it, and you'll find out the answer is no.
So then.
So, you know, my obstetrician, the guy he delivered Ryan and delivered Abby, both, his name's Dr. James Yeesh, great doctor. He told me, and this is, you know, back when I'm pretty carnal Christian. I don't know much about the Bible. He said, you know, the circumcision on the eighth day makes a lot of sense because that's the peak time when your vitamin K in your body has built up to help against blood clotting.
Oh.
So here's a doctor telling me this. I'm like, well, that's interesting because I was just starting to, you know, read the Bible.
Isn't that, astounding.
Because I remember it was around the time of Ryan's birth that I was becoming interested. And I think I'd seen this wacky guy on TV. His name was Bob Inyart. So I was starting to take an interest in this. So anyways, the eighth day after being born is the ideal time for circumcision.
And Fred, I've written a whole book on circumcision, actually. It's called The Plot of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's an overview of the whole Bible.
Oh, that's right. Gospel of circumcision.
Yeah, and we do not have to, as God tells us through Paul, we no longer have to circumcise.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we shouldn't for spiritual reasons, but it's okay for secular or cultural reasons, or if somebody wants to do it for health or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and we've circumcised our boys, and we've had a lot of boys, seven.
Yeah.
But Fred, today, Islam, they circumcise their children. I know we were in Turkey, a Bible tour of Turkey, and we attended an Islamic circumcision. These three kids, these poor slobs, Fred, they're 13 years old.
Ouch.
And they circumcise them, not all at 13, but up to 13.
Yeah.
Whereas Jews circumcise their male children at 8 days of age.
Mm-hmm.
In Islam, and we are talking 4,000 years after Abraham, and the Jews are circumcising on the eighth day, and the Muslims and the Arabs who believe in Muhammad, they're circumcising up to the 13th year, because the Bible says that Ishmael
was on the 13th,
13 years old.
The number 13.
When he was circumcised. And so what Islam teaches is that the covenant did not go to Isaac, it went to Ishmael. And the Arabs are part of course, the genetic stock of Ishmael and the Edomites and so on, and the pagan Canaanites and all, and the Philistines and so on.
So again, 13 is a sign of a form of rebellion right there.
Yeah, right. And so then Solomon in 1 Kings 6, Solomon was 7 years in building God's temple, but he took 13 years to build his own house. So that sounds, it just doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
7 years, God's temple.
Yeah.
My house is even greater.
Yeah. 13 years.
13 years. So these biblical references might have played subtly into man's superstitious ideas about the number 13.
Yeah, like we talked about with the skyscrapers and hotels not having a 13th floor.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah. And you remember a year ago, the end of the Mayan calendar, that was a big thing. And they said it was going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
And it's not that the Mayan calendar, which I've read a whole book on, it's a fascinating topic, not on the end of the world, just their calendar, which is awesome. It's referenced on our website, 360dayyear.com. You got to go there and look at that. They had their Bakhtun of so many years, and they had 13 Bakhtuns, and that's it. So at the end of the 13th Bakhtun, it was feared that maybe that would be a harbinger of the end of the world. So people foolishly feared that the end of the world by the Mayan. So when people fear Friday the 13th, it could be that it is a vague ancient recollection of the day of the fall.
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know.
It's speculation, but to me, a lot of it makes sense too.
It's big time speculation, right? But it does. It fits in. And if nothing else, it gives us an idea of when the fall happened within about a week or so.
Yeah.
And that's really fun.
To me, it fits, but you know, we're not going to start a church called the Friday the 13th Church or the fall of the. It's on the 13th.
No.
Or not. You can't become a member unless you believe the fall happened on the 13th Friday.
If you don't believe that, you cannot donate to Real Science Radio. We won't take your filthy lucre. Actually, we do need your help to stay on the air. And you could go to realscienceradio.com and click on the store. You can make a donation one time or ongoing. But Fred,
I guarantee you, you'll love the fall, the Genesis, the fall.
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool. And hey, by the way, while you're there, get the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was such a cool study. When I listened to that, I had to go check Genesis because I'm like, you're talking about stuff. And I couldn't find any of that stuff in Genesis. Yeah, I'm like, oh, Bob's all wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I kept listening to it and the plot thickens. And then it turns out it was stuff from Ezekiel.
So fun.
And it's so cool. So now I've given you a teaser.
The best.
That was such a cool Bible study.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the fall, two different studies. Yeah. And the tree, we have a new version of that, a DVD of that on one disc.
A new version? Is it new material?
Well, it's the same material, just brand new presentation.
Okay.
On video this time.
Wow, on video.
So we have the older audio and we have a brand new DVD. Yeah. And so last topic, you know how in the curse, God said to Eve, you know, because you've done this, I will multiply your sorrow and your conception, and in pain you shall bring forth children. Now,
they didn't have pain before the fall in childbirth.
Right. We cover this in Genesis, the fall. And what is so fascinating is to see the meaning of these Hebrew words. And when God talks about conception, it seems very evident he's referring to gestation. And he would multiply Eve's gestation, for the number six is the number of man. And, you know, that we're created on the sixth day and we're to labor 6 days. And after six months of gestation, Eve or any woman would have gone into labor and given birth to a very small baby. And she would not have delivered a whale of a kid. I mean, these kids come out at like 7.5 pounds, 8 pounds.
Sometimes 9, 10, 11.
And mom might weigh as little as 110 pounds. So she's delivering this big kid. And that's
because hopeless monster theory is true.
Yeah, right. And so God loved Adam and Eve so much that even this was merciful, because if the babies would have been born at 6 months of age, we call that premature today, because the world became a dangerous place to live, they would have died. God, he multiplied the gestation, the conception, so that they would now live another 50%, another 3 months. So instead of 6, 9. and 9 is the number of judgment. So the baby now lives 9 months in the mother's womb, and she gives birth, and it's painful, but the baby is stronger. Bigger and stronger, and has a good chance to survive.
Better chance of surviving.
And
yeah,
any mom,
wicked world.
Any mom would trade off that short-term pain for her baby's life.
Yes.
So, Fred, thank you so much. God loves numbers and symbolism. You're right. When did Adam and Eve fall? It's possible Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, which happens to be today.
That's right.
We have a
What a coincidence!
Yeah. Hey. So again, Dr. Dan Carroll tonight at the new location
for Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. So look it up online at youngearth.org.
Right? You got it. Yep.
Okay. So God bless you guys. This is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio.